hard for the other one.
Ms. Butler, we'll wait until the rustling has died down before we begin the next argument. Well, it's getting in that direction. Ms. Babu, why don't we start? I assume that the people who are leaving not had the benefit of reading the briefs in this case, or they surely would have stuck around.
Thank you.
Please proceed.
May it please the court, my name is Deborah DeVassi Babu, and I represent Appellant Wells Fargo Equipment Finance. This case involves the enforceability of Titan's representations to Wells Fargo under a security agreement, which Wells Fargo later discovered were untrue. Wells Fargo extended a loan to Titan, and Titan pledged
it. Before we get into the merits of this, I have a question about whether we have a remaining controversy. I understand from doing a little internet searching that Titan Leasing has been dissolved. It's no longer an extant corporation, and that the other two corporate defendants are not in good standing in Illinois. Can one continue litigation against dissolved or not in good standing corporations?
Yes.
Maybe Mr. Costum needs to wonder whether there's anybody around to pay him. But
To answer your question, Your Honor, yes, I believe that we can continue. And as far as my client is aware, even though Titan may be dissolved, it's continuing to send emails to Gerdau and trying to meet with Gerdau and do some other activities, which would suggest that it's still
Titan
in business.
Is doing that, or when a corporation dissolves, most states have laws under which the distributees of its assets can continue to collect for, say, 5 years. But I don't know how the dissolved corporation could continue to collect it or do business in its own name, as opposed to the people who receive the assets on the dissolution.
The party is representing itself as Titan. The president of the all three Titan entities is Eric Bachman. So the emails are coming from Mr. Bachman to Gerdau, and Mr. Bachman is also contacting Wells.
But is he Titan Leasing, or was he a former equity owner who received its assets? I think we'd need to know from the parties what the status of these litigants is, and who the real party in interest currently is on the defense side, and what their status is as a matter of Illinois law, because these were all Illinois corporations. So if both sides would file supplemental memos within 14 days addressing those questions, I think we would be better positioned to be able to address this dispute.
Sure.
And now I will lean back and let you address the merits.
Okay. Now, under the security agreement, as of March 6, 2009, Titan represented to Wells Fargo that the locomotive had been delivered and accepted by Gerdau, and that Gerdau had acknowledged receipt and acceptance of the locomotive. The facts underlying Titan's representations were known only to Lessee Gerdau and Titan as the lessor and supplier of the locomotive. Indeed, the purpose of such a provision was to protect an assignee like Wells Fargo, since it was not a party to the original transaction, from any disputes between Titan and Gerdau regarding the locomotive. The purpose of the provision was to eliminate any risk to Wells Fargo that the lessee would later raise a defense as to why it shouldn't have to make the payments under the lease, particularly in a non-recourse loan. Now, unbeknownst to Wells Fargo, Titan did not deliver the locomotive to Gerdau until June or July of 2009, over 4 months after Titan made the representation to Wells Fargo. But even after Titan delivered the locomotive to Gerdau, Gerdau refused acceptance until certain modifications and repairs were made in accordance with its specifications. Titan made a number of the requested modifications, and it did so at its own expense, and it was a substantial expense, by making payments to a third party, Knoxville Locomotive Works. Wells Fargo did not discover Titan's misrepresentations until a few months later because Titan, not Gerdau, made the lease payments under made payments to Wells Fargo under the lease, so Wells Fargo had no idea that this breach occurred till a few months later. The trial court ruled against Wells Fargo, finding that Gerdau had accepted the locomotive because the lease agreement, which was the contract between Gerdau and Titan, provided that Gerdau accepted the locomotive upon shipment of the locomotive. Because the locomotive had shipped from its originating location in the summer of 2008, the court reasoned that on that date, Gerdau had accepted the locomotive such that at the time Titan made the representations to Wells Fargo, there had been acceptance. The court erred for three reasons. First, it erred in finding that Titan had delivered the locomotive to Gerdau. Second, it erred in concluding that there was acceptance by Gerdau. And third, it erred in concluding that Gerdau had acknowledged receipt and acceptance of the locomotive. These were all the representations made by Titan in the security agreement. The trial court first erred in failing to apply the plain meaning of the word delivery as set forth in the security agreement. Delivery is not defined in the security agreement, and the security agreement does not incorporate the terms of the lease or any lease provisions regarding delivery. Under the plain meaning rule of contract interpretation, delivery can only mean physical delivery of the locomotive, particularly when Titan made these representations to Wells Fargo.
I guess I'm confused. Why would the delivery have to be to a Gerdau site? Why couldn't it be to some other location?
Well,
I understand when you actually take it to the property of the lessee, it is delivered to them, but it doesn't necessarily have to go there, does it? It could be used someplace else?
It doesn't necessarily have to be delivered to Gerdau, but there was nothing to suggest that there was delivery somewhere else. There was no...
Well, there's this Knoxville Railroad Repair Place. Couldn't
yes.
that be the site of delivery?
I think if the lease had specified it, and if the security agreement, if Titan had specified in the security agreement there will be delivery to a particular place, then yes. But from the face of the security agreement, there's nothing to suggest... The typical understanding of delivery would be delivery to the buyer or to the lessee. If there was some exception to that, I would expect that Titan would have indicated that in the security agreement.
It seems to me that once the responsibility for the object is turned over to someone, it's been delivered to them. Under this lease, Gerdau is responsible for insuring the object once the delivery begins, once it's shipped, and it becomes their responsibility.
Well, with regard, and that kind of goes into our argument with respect to acceptance, even though the lease between Gerdau and Titan provided that acceptance occurred upon shipment, Gerdau and Titan subsequently modified the terms of the lease, as evidenced by their emails and their conduct in course of dealing, to provide that acceptance was to occur after Gerdau conducted an inspection at its mill, and after Titan made certain modifications and repairs. And all the evidence in the case proves that that was true. We have the fact that we have the emails between the parties. Gerdau says over and over again in the emails, starting in February 2009, that it's not going to accept the locomotive until certain repairs are addressed. Titan addressed nearly every single one of those modifications and repairs and made those modifications at its own expense. If Titan's position had been that acceptance occurred upon shipment, there'd be no reason for Titan to make those modifications or to do so at its own expense. And Titan, in fact, attempted to invoice Gerdau for the lease payments, and in September 2009, this is at this point over a year after the locomotive had shipped, so under the lease's terms there would have been acceptance, Titan attempted to invoice Gerdau for the lease, and Gerdau sent Titan an email in September 2009 stating, these three invoices are being voided due to the fact that Gerdau has not accepted the locomotive. Titan didn't say in response, oh, Gerdau, you actually accepted the locomotive last summer when we shipped it.
Counsel, I don't see what significance there can be in something Gerdau did or didn't do after the security agreement was signed. All the warranties have to do with what Gerdau did earlier. I take it you would agree that if Gerdau had accepted something and signified its acceptance and so on before the security agreement, it wouldn't matter if Gerdau had then purported to reject or rescind or walk away the next month. It wouldn't affect the validity of Titan's warranties. So I think you need to concentrate your discussion on what happened as of the date of the security agreement.
Okay. So the representations with respect to the lease were made on March 6, 2009. In February 2009, just weeks prior to Titan's representation, Titan had hired a third party, Knoxville Locomotive Works, to make modifications to the locomotive. And in fact, even a week prior to its representation, Titan's representation to Wells Fargo, this is on February 29, 2009, Titan increased the scope of Knoxville Locomotive Works, increased the scope of its work in order to do even more modifications to the locomotive. So basically at the same time, or just prior to Titan making its representations to Wells Fargo regarding the locomotive, it's making modifications to the locomotive at its own expense. That's not consistent. It can't say to Wells Fargo, yes, the locomotive has been delivered and has been accepted by Gerdau, yet at the same time be making these modifications at its own expense. And Titan clearly knew that at the time it made the representations, those representations were false.
The district court interpreted the term acceptance in the security agreement by reference to the contents of the lease.
Yes.
And that suggests a predicate question about whether that's appropriate as a legal matter. We're interpreting the security agreement in the first instance, right, to determine whether delivery and acceptance had been effectuated as of March 6, 2009.
Yes, Your Honor, that's correct. And we argued in our briefs that it was inappropriate for the trial court to construe both of those two agreements together. These agreements are between two separate parties, and they were executed nearly a year apart. The lease was executed in April 2008 between Gerdau and Titan, and nearly a year later, Titan's making the representations to Wells Fargo in the security agreement, which was just between Wells and Titan. So we do think it was inappropriate for the district court to construe the two agreements together.
So delivery and acceptance under the security agreement's terms for purposes of this breach of contract claim mean something different than what they mean in the lease?
Yes, that's correct. And while the security agreement doesn't define acceptance, which is why we turned to the UCC section 2A515 to look at whether there was acceptance under the UCC, and you know, we find that under the facts presented that Gerdau could not have accepted and did not in fact accept the locomotive. In fact, other than the lease provision providing that there was acceptance upon shipment, there's no evidence in the record to suggest that. What's clear from the record is that subsequent to the execution of the lease in April 2008, Titan and Gerdau modified the acceptance provisions of the lease, and all of that is bolstered by the emails and the parties' conduct, some of which occurred prior to March 6, 2009, some of which occurred afterwards.
Is it possible that the terms delivery and acceptance in the security agreement are ambiguous in this document?
I don't think so, Your Honor. While they're not defined, I think those terms have some... delivery certainly has a plain and ordinary meaning. There's nothing to suggest that there's an ambiguity there or there should be some specialized meaning to that word.
Well, there are in this context different meanings in the commercial context, right?
I mean, yes.
It can mean... the transmission of something in the physical sense, or it could be delivery in a more legal sense, and the same is true of acceptance in this case.
I don't think there's any ambiguity because regardless of whether you look at the plain and ordinary meaning or the meaning under the UCC, I don't believe we have either here. We don't have delivery until after Titan made the representation in March 2009, and we don't have acceptance from Gerdau until after that date. Actually, Gerdau never accepted the locomotive.
Why is it inappropriate to look to the way those terms are used in the lease to clear up an ambiguity if one exists in the security agreement?
I think the security agreement stands on its own. There's no basis to incorporate the terms of the lease or any of its provisions regarding those terms or any of its provisions. And
if we do you lose, or is there an argument from the way those terms are defined in the lease that supports your position?
I don't think we lose, because even though acceptance is defined under the lease as upon shipment, the evidence in the case shows that the parties subsequently modified that acceptance paragraph. So even if, and I guess this question highlights the very purpose of the provision. The purpose of the provision was for Wells Fargo to eliminate any risk to itself about the lessee's non-payment. Wells Fargo is an assignee. It's not an original party to the transaction. It has no idea what transpired between Titan and Gerdau. Titan made the representation.
Right.
So,
and lease financing will usually contain this sort of warranty, right?
Yes, correct.
That every lease you give us to finance is going to be valid.
Yes.
And in effect and not breached, basically.
That's correct.
Right?
It's a very common lease provision in an agreement like this. I see my time is almost up. So as a final point, the court erred in failing to apply the plain meaning of the words acknowledge receipt and acceptance as set forth in the security agreement. The evidence in the case showed that Gerdau had leased two other locomotives from Titan, one for its Cartersville, Georgia mill and another for its Jacksonville, Florida mill. With respect to those two locomotive leases, after inspection, after acceptance, Gerdau...
Thank you, counsel.
Excuse me?
Thank you, counsel.
Okay, thank you.
Mr. Costa.
Good morning, judges. May it please the court. First, Judge, thank you for the admonition on getting paid. We will submit supplemental information with regard to status of the client. It is a significant part of the case. Thank you. If I may, perhaps I can provide some clarity here with a factual question that arose during counsel's arguments. First of all, this is a suit for alleged violations of representations and warranties pursuant to a security agreement. It's under a non-recourse note, which means...
Counsel, let me tell you what yes. my problem is, and we can get straight to it. Maybe my colleagues will have different problems. But as I read the security agreement, Titan is warranting three things. Here's the critical language. Titan is warranting that the related equipment has been delivered and accepted by the lessee, and the lessee has acknowledged receipt and acceptance of such equipment. So it sounds like it's making three warranties. Warranting that the equipment has been delivered, warranting that the equipment has been accepted, and warranting that Gerdau has acknowledged these things. Three separate warranties. The district court found that under the UCC and the lease, right. the first two of these things, delivery and acceptance, had happened. But I couldn't find in the district court's opinion any discussion of the third thing, where Gerdau had acknowledged receipt and acceptance. And that's what bugs me. I mean, unless there is something I am missing, how has the third warranty been kept?
Thank you, Your Honor. Well, first, to the strict language within the lease agreement under Section 7 with regard to delivery and acceptance of the locomotive. The language is pretty specific. Shipment of the locomotive...
You're not dealing with my question. There are three things. One is delivery,
right.
two is acceptance, and three is acknowledgement.
Again, I'll simply... I understand that the court is making a distinction in what the court ruled, lower
no,
court.
No, it's not a distinction I'm making. It's something that's in the financing agreement. There
right.
are three separate warranties, delivery, acceptance, and acknowledgement. And the district court found delivery and acceptance, but the district court didn't find acknowledgement. And I'm wondering where one finds acknowledgement.
The position we take, Your Honor, is within the terms and conditions under paragraph 7, acknowledgement is a part of the shipment upon delivery. The lessee has an opportunity, and the language is
shall. I see where that could go toward acceptance, but how does that go to acknowledgement?
Well, the entire, you know, paragraph 7, section 7, delivery and acceptance, goes through a variety of scenarios under which the acceptance and delivery and acceptance is to be conditioned upon shipment. Throughout here, there is an opportunity prior to shipment for the lessee to inspect.
That
lessee
has chose to do not with to. Acceptance.
Pardon me?
That has to do with acceptance. Under the UCC, an opportunity to inspect can be enough to show acceptance. But what we're trying to get at is, where is number three? Where is acknowledgement?
I would suggest, Your Honor, that the failure to inspect in and of itself is an acknowledgement.
And you're defining acknowledgement how?
Simply by the contractual terms, Your Honor.
There some contract that specifies what an acknowledgement means?
I don't see it as a further defined term, Your Honor.
No, it's not. And the problem is, the district court got to delivery and acceptance.
Yeah.
Yes, please just put it down. Put it down. Things will get worse if you fiddle with it. The district court got to delivery and acceptance, which are also not defined in the contract, by using the UCC. That's fine. It's what people normally do. But there doesn't appear to be a UCC definition of acknowledgement. I may be wrong. Maybe there is something I'm missing.
And I'm just trying to understand the court's position in the absence of acknowledgement.
The court doesn't have a position. I am trying to figure out what your position is, and you are not addressing this question.
I'm attempting to, Your Honor. I apologize. Again, the Titan takes the position that with this particular type of asset class, which mandates that the terms and conditions of the lease provide for delivery and acceptance upon shipment as opposed to upon the occurrence of some other future event, that delivery and acceptance acknowledgement are wrapped up in the actual shipment of the locomotive. There is no other...
But that doesn't address the acknowledgement of receipt. Receipt.
But is I understand...
The acknowledgement has to go to both. Acceptance and receipt. Lessee has acknowledged receipt and acceptance of such equipment.
Correct.
The lease also doesn't say that shipment accomplishes delivery.
We can disagree on
that. I mean, I don't find anything there, and you haven't... directed us to anything in your brief. Delivery is something different than the act of shipment.
It does shift the risk
here
to
Section 7 of the lease, entitled Delivery and Acceptance, makes it clear, and I'm quoting now, shipment of the locomotive to lessee shall constitute lessee's formal acceptance of the locomotive and lessee's acknowledgement that the locomotive meets the delivery specification and is of the manufacture, design, utility, quality, condition, and capacity required by lessee.
Right, that it meets those conditions, but not acknowledging delivery and receipt, or acceptance and receipt.
And well, shipment doesn't satisfy the delivery term of
again,
the
security
agreement.
Again, I have to beg to differ on that, Your Honor. The terms and conditions of this lease define delivery, define shipment as accomplishing delivery and acceptance. No further acts are required on the part of the lessee. And in fact, the lessee is estopped because having failed to exercise its right to perform an inspection, that is the opportunity.
Right. The lease says that shipment constitutes formal acceptance, and as Judge Tinder said, shifts the risk on these issues of whether the locomotive meets the specifications and is fit for service, essentially. But it doesn't constitute delivery. Delivery is discussed in different subsections of Section 7 of the lease and implies actual physical delivery.
I'm not reading that, Your Honor. If you point it out to me, I'd be very glad to comment on it. The lease in three or four parts in Section 7 is very clear that following the lessee's failure to inspect the locomotive, that in fact shipment constitutes delivery and acceptance.
No, it says shipment constitutes formal acceptance. as a legal matter and shifts the risk.
Okay.
It doesn't say that shipment constitutes delivery.
Delivery
is discussed in subsections E, F, and G, all of which refer to acts of physical delivery and the arrival of the locomotive at various destinations.
All right, so we're agreed that Section 7 allows for formal acceptance of the locomotive and less use of knowledge.
Well, first of all, we're not agreeing about anything, okay?
All right.
Let's just get that clear. This subsection says shipment constitutes formal acceptance.
Correct.
You know, it doesn't go to the acknowledgement point and it doesn't go to the delivery point.
But there is no other requirement within the lease that requires
But there is within the security agreement, and that's what we're here talking about.
So, okay. Let me elaborate a moment on the factual question that came up before. Perhaps this will shed some light on it. Some reference was made to Titan's commissioning of Knoxville Locomotive Works by the lessee Jourdeau. In fact, in having failed to originally order a remote control unit for this, the third of three lease schedules under this master lease agreement, Jourdeau, the lessee, thereafter directed Titan to send the locomotive to Knoxville Locomotive Works. It was recommended by Jourdeau, and it's in proximity to Jourdeau. And a physical inspection of the locomotive took place by the lessee Jourdeau on February 11th. Jourdeau thereafter made subsequent requests for customizations to the locomotive. This necessitated the lease schedule changing because the cost of the locomotive changed and the lease payments changed. So on March the 12th, a second lease schedule replacing the first was executed by Jourdeau. This is what was holding up funding of the lease by Wells upon the receipt of these documents March 17th of 2009. Wells funded the lease and closed with Titan. Again, the lessee, having failed to perform a pre-inspection, a pre-shipment inspection, the locomotive was shipped. Eventually, was delivered to Knoxville Locomotive Works. Eventually, the work was completed and the lease was funded. In their briefs, appellant makes takes a great deal of time in articulating alleged delays. Section 7 goes on of that provision to state that the lessor shall not be liable for any failure or delay in delivering the locomotive, even though, in fact, this is dealt with extensively in the lease, and it's as though it somehow alleged delays in delivering the locomotive creates new rights in the lessee to avoid its lease obligations and or later reject acceptance of the locomotive, and it manipulates the presentation of facts to try and effectuate that. But pursuant to the specific lease terms, lessee can reject the locomotive at only one point after execution of the lease, and that's after it's conducted its pre-shipment inspection, which didn't take place. Again, the purpose of having a shipment upon a delivery upon shipment provision of a lease like this is reflective of the asset class here. This isn't a small asset. It's a large diesel-electric locomotive having a value of hundreds of thousands to millions of dollars, costing as much as $30,000 to $40,000 to move. These are used locomotives. They are unique assets. They need to be prepared uniquely, and ergo the reason for the provision before shipment of the pre-delivery inspection. The lower court considered all of this in favor of Titan against Wells and ruled on the cross motions for summary judgment in favor of Titan in a very succinct and very well reasoned lower court opinion. We'd be glad to take any more questions.
Thank you very much, counsel.
Thank you.
The case is taken under advisement. Our third case for argument this morning is United States against